This is Cool Science Radio. I'm Lynn Ware Peak.
And I'm Scott Greenberg. What if you could learn to repair a power grid, operate heavy machinery, or respond to a life-threatening emergency all without the real-world risk? Well, for years, virtual reality has seen mostly as a gaming technology, but today it's helping train welders, engineers, healthcare workers, and first responders for jobs where mistakes can have serious consequences.
VR is rapidly transforming workforce training, allowing students and professionals to practice complex, high-stakes skills in immersive digital environments. But today's technology goes a step further, measuring not just whether someone completed the training, but whether they've truly mastered it. We're joined today by Nick Day of a company called Roundtable Learning. Nick joins us to explore how VR is changing the way we learn, verify skills, and prepare the workforce of the future. Nick Day, welcome to Cool Science Radio.
Thank you for having me.
Well, it's nice to have you. We love talking about virtual reality on this show. And, you know, it seems to me that if we think about sort of the first implementation of virtual reality, we all think about the NASA and the astronauts, right? And really, they were probably some of the first quote unquote virtual reality, you know, training programs before it ever became virtual reality. Mm-hmm. I just found that kind of interesting. I'm sure you know a lot more about that.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of people would be surprised to know that virtual reality or simulation-based training has been around a lot longer than most folks have thought about. But mainly in the last few years, the technology has certainly advanced. It's become more scalable and it's more cost-effective, not only in the consumer market for things like gaming, but also for enterprise and education. It's now at a point where they can scale the technology, they can buy multiple headsets and distribute it across their workforce. And a lot of that advancement in the content development and the hardware has happened in the last few years, but you're right, it's been around for a while.
Yeah, yeah. It's funny because we here in Park City, we had the Sundance Film Festival for the entirety of, you know, since it began. Unfortunately, it's moving next year to Boulder, Colorado. But one of the things they did every year was they had these virtual reality rooms you could go into. And it was sort of the cutting edge technology as a means to, you know, part of how you talk about film, I guess. And it seemed like a big deal about, I don't know, 15 years ago. And then we didn't hear a lot about VR. But now there's this new kind of VR is surfacing again. What's made it emerge again?
Yeah, I think things like social media, the way we consume news stories and new use cases has certainly evolved the adoption of it. Again, I go to the headsets. The advancement that's happened there has really helped a lot of companies adopt it. It's funny, years ago when we would travel with the technology, it took a long time to set up. It was elaborate. You need to have it connected to a laptop to run the headset. And when enterprise specifically was watching us set that up, they kind of looked at that and said, well, if I have hundreds or thousands of locations, the idea of scaling that just isn't going to work. But now when we travel and you have a little case smaller than a laptop case and everything is there and all I need to do is put the thing on, I don't even need a Wi-Fi connection, and I can start to train folks or create awareness around things. It's made it way more mainstream to think about having hundreds or thousands, or in some of our customers' cases, they have tens of thousands of headsets internationally. So it's just advancement of hardware, technology advancements.
You know, I remember the first time I tried a virtual reality headset, and I thought, you know, it was pretty novel, but I never really thought it was going to catch on. You know, kind of thought, well, you know, I guess if you wanted to play a game or if you wanted to like work your way through a haunted house, that was my first experience with it. But what kind of skills today? And because you're right, it has absolutely, the technology is amazing now with virtual reality. But I'm curious, what do you think are the kinds of skills or scenarios that are best suited for VR training today? What does it make sense to do on VR?
Gosh, that's a good question. There's probably a shorter list of things you can't do. I'm in a really cool position because we travel and support a lot of different industries. I just had part of my team out at a Mars factory where they create Starburst, they create Snickers. We've been in rail yards with BNSF recreating locomotives. We even do safety training for the team at Walmart and in Amazon locations. So there's so many different roles, but I guess I would boil it down to a couple different things of training scenarios that are infrequent or dangerous. They may be very expensive to replicate, or maybe you can't replicate them in real life without putting somebody at harm. Also repetitive tasks where maybe you can't shut down a production line or some type of production equipment to get somebody up to speed and productive on it. Those are great areas. Even in education, I know you had a host on previously talking about education. The idea of putting a student in a career field that they're not going to be able to leave the classroom and experience, that's a great use for the technology.
Let's stay on safety then for just a second. I think that's a really great area. And also I like the idea of not being having to shut down the production line. I keep thinking of the I Love Lucy episode where she's shoving all the candies in her mouth because the production line's moving too quickly. But let's stay on safety for just a second. How do you know when someone's actually learned the skill? How do you know when you can pass them on that safety exam?
Yeah. Well, this has been one of the other great advancements, I think, is today we have all types of data that we can gather from those headsets. And that's extremely important for the folks that are training, potentially new hires, somebody going into a new role. We can identify exactly where mistakes or errors are occurring. So if we think about training, a lot of times the number one metric that a lot of people are tracking were completion. But to your point, Scott, that doesn't tell you that somebody is ready to go out and perform that job role. But now we have the ability to track all different types of metrics of how they move, what they interact with, the order of steps they're taking, how long it takes them to complete that. So now at the end of a training module, we can get very detailed data and present that to a trainer, a safety person, to say, here is specifically how they performed. Are they ready? Do they have the comprehension to apply what they've learned here in a real world setting?
Nick, I'm wondering how you evaluate kind of behaviors when someone is training. Like, say you're on a simulation of, you know, operating heavy machinery. And I only say this because I just used, wasn't a truly heavy machine, but it was a little Kubota that I used for some landscaping. And, you know, I sort of trained myself and I worked through things, and luckily I didn't crash into any cars or houses or anything like that. But if I'm imagining virtual reality training, and virtual reality is also viewing me as I'm training and my behavior, whether or not my eyes are maybe going to the right places, or if I'm distracted, you know, if I'm checking my phone, could you comment on that? Like, what are the surprising things we might not know about?
Well, I think you bring up a great point there of distractions. I mean, in training today, the way a lot of companies do it, it's, you'll hear the term death by PowerPoint, or they put them through overly long e-learning courses where really the goal for the end user then is just to quickly move through that and get hands-on with what they're going to be doing. And the nice thing about VR is once you're in the headset, you're free of distraction. So if a text comes through, you get a phone call, you're not checking it. You're focused on the task at hand. And to the point you made as well, it's extremely important in certain safety scenarios to know where that person is looking or how they're moving. And those all become trackable data points for somebody. We can tell where they're looking at the point when an error occurs. For an example, we do a forklift training. That's a big thing to know where their head is if an impact or a near miss occurs. Were they looking in the proper direction? That becomes a valuable data point for a trainer and the end user to know, hey, I ran into a pallet or racking or some type of barrier. where was I looking in the moment that that impact occurred? That becomes a critical data point for them to know. And in the real world today, when something like that occurs, the person may just tell you, yeah, I was looking in that direction, I just didn't see it. You have no way of validating that. But in VR, we can see what their natural tendencies are when critical things happen.
Right. And that makes me think of, you know, that there's quite a prevalence of ADD, ADHD these days. And, you know, if someone is viewing me and how I work and how I react and where I'm looking and how focused I am and collecting all that data, who then owns that data? I mean, is there a privacy question at all? If I'm evaluated to say have some problem with ADD and, you know, I can't complete the training or whatever it is, does that stick with you?
Yeah, I mean, you're always going to run into privacy concerns of what you can capture and hold on to, right? I think especially in a lot of the work we do in the Fortune 500 space, legal teams, IT teams are definitely involved in this to make sure that there aren't any violations of data that would be captured from a user. I think it's really task dependent, though. When I look at something like the forklift training, it's extremely important to know where somebody was looking, what they were doing when an impact or a moment, critical moment occurred. So there's always going to be exceptions to that of what you can and can't capture. But the more data we can capture, the better informed decisions we can make on additional training or points that a trainer may need to work on somebody with one-on-one is extremely helpful.
Now, VR training has been around for a long, long time. It comes to mind right off the bat are airlines, the cockpit virtual reality, where they are getting constantly retrained or even trained on new aircraft. And even recently, I had an opportunity to jump into a virtual reality cockpit for an F1 Formula One racing car. By the way, you do not want me in that cockpit. It was just a disaster getting once around that course. However, I'm curious, I'd like to get your opinion about what industries are leaning the hardest right now into virtual reality training, and why do you think that is?
Well, this probably wouldn't surprise you, but industries that have a large hourly workforce, you think of the trades, retail, the manufacturing side, they're leaning heavily into it. I just had a conversation with our partners at Amazon, and they have a population that is heavily focused on their maintenance techs within their facilities. And probably one of their biggest challenges getting skilled labor in with the knowledge and expertise that they need to become more productive employees sooner. So we're at a point where how can we leverage this technology to reduce that ramp time they need and give them exposure to as many types of situations that may occur in a warehouse environment? So as I think about it, it's definitely more of the technical skills, one, to speed up that time to productivity, but then also, again, just exposure to as many different scenarios as possible that they could encounter that either gives them more reps to become familiar with that task, or the going back to the safety element, what can we expose them to that I can only tell them about in a classroom setting, but it doesn't give them the impact, the why of what they're doing and what the ramifications are if things occur that could be potentially life-threatening.
So it seems to me that by using VR training, you maybe have some faster onboarding, fewer errors, better retention. Mm-hmm. I'm curious how, though, you convince a company who's never used VR training and may even be a little skeptical about it, how do you convince them to try it, to stick their toe in the proverbial water?
Oh, man, that is the billion-dollar question, right? A lot of companies, they know they need to do something different with training, but the easiest answer is always to just keep doing what they're doing. So what's most helpful for clients is definitely leaning into similar use cases where companies have shown success. We spend a lot of time on the road getting people in headsets. So you know, unfortunately, an immersive technology like this, when you're trying to portray just how valuable it can be over a Zoom or team meetings, can definitely fall flat. But the minute folks get into headsets, even if they've only done it for entertainment purposes in the past, when they get in and they see a training scenario, it starts to really open up their eyes of what's possible with it and how impactful it can be. But that is always the challenge, is a lot of companies, they continue to understand that the way new employees consume content and want to be trained needs to evolve. But this isn't a small undertaking. It's not, you know, building another PowerPoint that they can put up there with less slides. This is a completely new undertaking. So it definitely has its challenges, but I can tell you this, that all of the companies we've worked with, once they do it, they all say it was definitely worth it, and they continue to scale it.
Yeah. If you're just joining us on Cool Science Radio, we're talking about virtual reality and training in the workplace with Nick Day. He's with a company called Roundtable Learning, who sounds like you go all over the country. And as you said, many different industries. It's kind of interesting how ubiquitous you could be, even though the industries are so diverse.
Absolutely. And, you know, even though the industries are different, they all face a lot of the same challenges. There's a shortage of skilled labor. We have folks retiring more quickly than we have new folks coming in. It's the number one thing. It doesn't matter what industry or who we're visiting. It's the common challenge that everybody is up against.
Do you come across any industries where you think that virtual reality, like we shouldn't have it in there, that we should only have true human experience to train?
Well, learn? I think the answer to that is we should always have that human element in training. And one thing we would never position is taking out hands-on with live equipment with people all together. I still think there's a ton of value in this. In the way that I look at something like VR or augmented reality, those are additional training tools that you can leverage that would complement it. We would never suggest completely removing that human element or real hands-on where it's possible. This should just be another tool as part of the training curriculum that they can leverage for better, more effective results.
Lynn, I have an example, a public affairs radio show host. Just saying, I don't want to be replaced yet. But on our show, Nick, we love talking about AI, artificial intelligence. It's been a hot topic lately, as you can imagine. And I'd like to get your opinion. Where do you think artificial intelligence is going to intersect with virtual reality as we start building more and more training programs for various industries?
Yeah, this probably won't be a surprise. I think some of your other guests may have mentioned this, but I think where it helps is a couple of different ways. One, VR definitely making the training more dynamic based on inputs that the user has and then seeing what the next scenario is. When we think about making selections today or interacting with things, I don't want to necessarily say it's on rails, but in a lot of ways it is. There's only certain things you can and can't do based on how the training was designed. I think AI is going to open up the ability to make that more dynamic and natural based on real life. I also see a big opportunity with AR wearable devices that folks will be wearing throughout a shift, and you have access to AI as a helper, whether it's sitting there as more of a, I'll use the term co-pilot, to make sure that, you know, I don't do anything incorrectly that could harm someone, or just giving me quick access to information I need so I don't need to stop what I'm doing and go find somebody that can help me. So I definitely think it's going to be a value add in the future, and I'm excited to see where it goes.
When I first experienced a virtual reality headset, the thing was kind of clunky. It sort of felt, you know, heavy on my face. Is technology advancing the actual mechanics of virtual reality, the headsets, the how we're able to wear them? Are they getting smaller? I don't know. I haven't tried VR in a while. I'm curious to know what's going on in that field.
Yeah, I would say most of the manufacturers are in a little bit of that race where you're trying to make the form function lighter, more wearable, so you can spend longer periods of time in it, also while making it more powerful. I'm excited. We got some early access into new headsets that are coming out, and I can happily report that they're definitely lighter on your face, less cumbersome, but the compute power is exponentially better, which from a development standpoint gives us a lot of ability to increase the graphics, the fidelity of it, make it true to life. So I'm excited about what's coming out in the marketplace in the next 3 to 6 months.
Yeah, that is exciting. Nick, I'm wondering if you could go through, it's really interesting when you're talking about AI, the interplay with virtual reality, or rather augmented reality, picturing it as a co-pilot. So I've got my AR headset on, and let's go back to my little Kubota tractor that I was using for landscaping. How might I use it to help me do something like that better? Or you can use whatever example you want.
Sure. Well, it would be really cool if you were able to set a task with that tractor. Here's my goal for today of what I need to get done. And let's say in the course of that, one thing is it's always watching to make sure you're safe, to make sure you don't do anything that would be dangerous. Secondary to that is, let's say you're working on your tractor and suddenly something goes wrong and the tractor shuts off. I don't know why it shut off. I have gas in it. Everything seems to be right. Can those glasses help you troubleshoot what's happening based on, you know, what it is seeing in front of you, and maybe some input to say, hey, well, check, I don't know, your fuel filter, check a number of different things that may lead to diagnosing why it stopped working. And I think that would be obviously very beneficial to get you back and up and running more quickly, but would also save you a lot of time of trying to stop what you're doing, maybe fire up your laptop or jump on your phone and say, here's what I'm seeing, trying to scrub through forums of somebody else that's gone through it. Here's what they went through. So I think it just has the ability to diagnose in real time based on input that you've given it. Here's what's happened. Can you help me diagnose and troubleshoot this?
Right. Okay, that's good. Well, before we let you go, my final question is, we talk about dangerous workplaces. Some of us have never worked in a dangerous workplace. I haven't ever really. But I'm wondering if VR and the training that we can get from it can help, you know, what would be the number one dangerous workplace mistake that people make that VR can eliminate?
Well, what we see generally from a lot of incidents, one is throwing new folks into unfamiliar situations with dangerous equipment. And that could be electrical, that could be heavy equipment, it could be a number of different things. The other big one that leads to incidents is maybe I've been doing my job for a number of years and I get complacent and I find myself skipping steps along the way. Those present big opportunities for folks to jump back into a headset and re-qualify myself that I understand and follow the correct steps. And I see the technology helping in a lot of those ways.
Well, that's really interesting. We're so glad you could join us to walk us through this and what Roundtable Learning is doing. Nick Day is our guest. Thank you for the explanation and taking us through VR. It's an exciting world and an exciting time.
Yeah, thank you for having me.